final days of the election race, and oh God, please just let it be over. I enjoy the theatre of politics as much as any journalist, but there's only so much I can take. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Next week, on election day from 9 a.m. Sydney time, Ed and I will be holding a live election special leading up to the close of ballots and, with any luck, the call of the election itself with some very special guests. That's 9 a.m. Sydney time, November 4th, the Wednesday. Join us via 2SER.com, the live stream, or broadcast at 2SER 107.3. Before we get into the election race itself, Amy Coney Barrett officially confirmed to the Supreme Court this week in a rush job nomination process, cementing a Conservative majority and possible bias towards Trump before the November election. Thoughts, Ed?
Well, the worst outcome is she would actually participate in anything that came to the court regarding the election, knowing full well she was placed on the court for an election. I hope she's really a constructionist and says no to that, because the Constitution expected the judges to be neutrals, and it says so in the Constitution. So I think it would be unseemly for her to participate in anything like that. As a matter of fact, the two biggest cases coming to the Supreme Court, the one on Obamacare and the one possible one on abortion rights, she should be very careful on those and perhaps recuse herself on those too. But there would still be the potential of a majority there, depending on what Justice Roberts does. So this is going to be a difficult one. I'd like to go on here for a moment. What do the Democrats do? What does Joe Biden do? Since we've seen this outrageous abuse of power, the only way to fight fire is with fire. Now, Joe's very careful. He says he's going to put together a commission on the federal electorate, which I agree with. Lifelong appointments to jobs, not a good idea at all, particularly when the people are getting younger and younger for these appointments. So there ought to be something done. Now, the Supreme Court is supreme. I don't believe the Constitution talks about the number or the ages of the judges. That's a legislative matter, I believe, but we could look that up. And I think those two things should be dealt with: the number of appointees and the length of time they can serve or the age they can serve. And here in Australia, it's a combination of length of time and age. And I think the Democrats could go that far. And perhaps, if Roberts is smart, he'll avoid the packing issue.
We're nearly to the end of the race, nearly to the end of October. Where's our October surprises? I mean, maybe the Hunter Biden stuff was meant to blow up a lot bigger than it did, but it kind of just sort of fell flat. Trump getting COVID was a good one, but that was not so much a planned surprise. What have we got in the final days? What should we be looking for?
Well, I think leaving people out in the cold in Omaha was a surprise. Several thousand, and 300 of them had to be hospitalized from that misadventure. It's kind of a metaphor for the campaign, isn't it? Leaving his supporters in the cold. And you can be sure Biden and Obama picked up that on the trail. The big surprise, I think, actually did happen. And that was the ability of Biden to win all three debates. The second debate was not a debate, it was kind of dueling interviews. But Biden won all three. And that came as a shock and a surprise to everyone. The other surprise is in the voting. This is the largest turnout. Nearly half of all the people who want to vote have voted already. The Republicans say they can make up for that on election day. But if Democratic turnout is like it usually is on election day, and Republican turnout is like it usually is, Trump might be in for a surprise.
Just going back to the final presidential debate we had last week, Trump was on his best behaviour. It isn't saying much, but he was, I guess. Those mute buttons, they were a marvellous investment. But I thought both candidates came across pretty steady. Any thoughts?
Well, Kirsten Walker was the winner of that debate. She ran it very well. And in some ways, I'm sympathetic to Trump because interviewers now are kind of I gotcha. They pick up something you said or half of something you said and do the I gotcha. She didn't do that. She asked him straight up questions where he could answer. Now, he dodged, he weaved, he didn't answer. So he wasn't miffed at the way it was being done. Joe Biden, on the other hand, had almost too many set pieces. He reminds me of some of the people I play a game of tennis with. I know exactly where they're going to put the ball. The only thing I have to do is put it in another place. Trump didn't keep his eye on the ball. He could have knocked some of the things that Biden said out of the park. And the reason Biden won is he played to his strengths rather than to Trump's.
There was one big takeaway, and I think it was a takeaway, that, well, Trump did sort of manage to return a little bit on the serve. If you know the reasoning behind, if you don't know the reasoning behind this one, it sort of came out of nowhere. But it was Trump's sudden obsession with fracking. Suddenly he was bringing up fracking over and over again, and Biden talked about, you know, weaning America off of oil as an energy source, and this has kind of become big news in the final days of the election. This is obviously all over targeting Pennsylvania. I mean, there's a lot of fear-mongering about energy jobs in Pennsylvania. Did Biden slip up? Did he give Trump too much ammo in that one?
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I think that is an isolated issue in Pennsylvania. There are voters there. I don't think Trump will get all those voters on the fracking issue. Most Americans don't want fracking. So Biden has to be very careful here. And even Trump has outlawed a lot of oil drilling and things off the coast of Florida, his home state, for the same reasons that Biden is doing. So Obama's really picked up on that, and he's campaigning in Florida. Biden could lose Florida and still win the election, because Trump has to win every single state. So Biden can lose one of these big industrial states and still win the election. And he has a possibility of picking up Georgia, which is almost the same size as Pennsylvania.
Well, Pennsylvania, again, is one of the states where Biden, if you look at the polls, still has a very convincing lead. I mean, if you looked sort of, you know, nationwide, you'd think he has this thing in the bag. And, you know, personally, I mean, you know, you and I, obviously, in 2016, a lot of other people thought the same thing about Hillary in 2016. So a lot of Democrats right now are once bitten, twice shy. What of it, Ed? Do you think the polls could get it so wrong all over again?
Yes, of course they could. But let's say they got it wrong by the 2% that Trump won by in all those states. Hillary was 4 points ahead in the last week, down to 2 points on election day. Trump got 2.1%. If Trump gets 2.1% this time, Joe still has 4% ahead above him. And most voters are already committed to voting now. So let's hope the polls are right and there are these big cushions for Biden.
Obviously, on Election Day, we're going to be talking more, especially as the exit polls come in for various states. But where else will we be looking in the final days?
Well, we're looking at the Great Lakes states. And you see the people who are getting the visual of this will see Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Ohio might even be tossed in there because it's very close in Ohio. The combined vote there is about 100 or so votes. Biden walks in because he has both the left coast, California, up to Washington, including Nevada, and probably Arizona. So he walks in with well over 200 electoral votes. If he picks up the other 100, it's over. No matter what is done by Trump. So the strategy, as I understand it, from what I've heard from his people on TV and radio and so on, is to hold on to those states and make Trump spend his money on states that Biden might win, like Ohio, like Texas, like Georgia and Florida. So make Trump spend his money on states that don't matter to Biden. And that seems to be working. So you see that Trump is now out in states he won pretty well, like Nebraska, campaigning. Because if he loses in Nebraska, he loses the race. He only has to lose a couple of these states, and it's all over for him. Biden concentrates on his. On election night, let's look for Florida. Florida, Georgia, Pennsylvania. If those three states are blue, we can take, go home, go to bed, feel comfortable.
Just on the campaign trail, and it's one I sort of forgot to mention last week, but Barack Obama, he's been out spruiking for Biden. It's very, very late in the race we've seen this particular big gun dragged out. What's the impact here?
Well, the impact, I'm hoping, will be very strong and getting out the old Obama crew. I was around in Obama's first election. Actually, I was in New Orleans at the time, and I'd never seen such enthusiasm, nor so many people out on the street going door to door, carrying signs and so on. It was like a Trump wave. So they're trying to replicate that now and get those people who get excited about a person and a personality. And it looks like he's doing it. I wondered why he waited so long. And I have two thoughts about this. One, he's actually waiting for a Supreme Court appointment. That has been talked about, whispered about a great deal. He didn't want to be too political. The other is they didn't want to shoot their big gun early in the race. They wanted to see where the soft spots were and then bring out the howitzer, the biggest gun they could, to those places. So where's he been? He's been to Pennsylvania, to Florida. He's going to Georgia. He may even go to Texas.
And an executive order signed by Trump this week that strips civil service protections from a broad swathe of career civil servants, leading to fear Trump plans, in the event of a loss, to purge thousands of federal workers and replace them with his own appointees in a move that could cripple the Biden government for months while things are sorted, a sort of scorched earth approach that would severely affect Americans, or if he wins, increase Trump's hold on all these services and immediately dismiss anyone who doesn't toe the Trump line. Any thoughts on this one, Ed?
I think this is a Trump. He is going to fill up the civil service. All presidents do this when they're at the end of their term and they're not going to be reelected. I've seen every president find some of the people who can't find jobs elsewhere and put them on the federal payroll. Many of them stay for years and years and collect their pensions. I don't know how this is going to work. The federal civil service laws are supposed to protect people. I think this will go to the courts, and the executive order will be challenged in the courts, and whether that challenge wins or not, I think what will happen is, like the New York school district, all those people who are appointed will be given a desk someplace in the basement of some large building, and they'll be collecting a salary for as long as they can, but they'll refill those jobs with real appointees through the meritocracy.
Well, at least we know with Trump, we're only getting the very best people in all these kind
Absolutely.
Of positions.
And they should have a jail sentence to prove it.
Just a quick whip around of some other news this week. Lebanon, and in spite of the disastrous situation in country with COVID and the fallout of the Beirut blast earlier this year, Saad al-Hariri has been returned as Prime Minister for the fourth time. Ed, I'm no expert. Certainly, I've spoken to some Lebanese people who despair at the way the country has been run, looted, in some words. What's going on?
Well, of course, I've gone to the source here, my Lebanese cab drivers, who are well informed, and they say this is the best of the bad guys. They can't do any better because of the fighting among themselves. And this is sadly what's happened. They don't think they can get anybody internally. It's a shame. I mean, you look around the world, who are the people running countries? They're not exactly the best and the brightest, except for New Zealand, Germany, and where else? Canada. The rest of them are pretty weak. So there isn't a lot of talent. A lot of great talent has fled Lebanon long ago. So the pool is very shallow.
And COVID-19, we're seeing a third wave in the United States, the government sort of having given up entirely on controlling the situation. Europe, curiously, also seeing a surge in cases, with Spain declaring a state of emergency, Italy imposing new restrictions, and a French doctor claiming this week his country has lost control of the epidemic. What's going on?
This is a hard one. It seems as though China and the Asian countries, Vietnam, et cetera, have had this second wave and it hasn't hit as hard. And they lifted their restrictions and still didn't hit as hard. I'm not sure. I'm not an MD, so I'm not sure. I think the kind of medicine that we've seen here taken in Victoria, you've got to get this. See, they never got it down so far that it was almost out. And Victoria has done that. They're the closest thing we've had to what's gone on in Europe. Nobody got it down far enough so it couldn't spring back. And I think that's what will have to be done. But my God, all of us are tired of these lockdowns.
Well, Ed, as we say, little under a week to go in the election race at time of recording. Early voting has now surpassed over 53% of total voting in 2016. So a lot of people have really made up their minds on this one. A lot of nervous people, a lot of fear about how this one will turn out. Next time we talk, we should be very close to a result. Any final thoughts?
Go blue.
Next week on Election Day, Ed and I will be holding a live election special on 2SER. Live stream it from 9 a.m. Wednesday morning, Sydney time. We're going to be joined by Number Crunchers and some very special guests. That's the live stream at 2SER.com, broadcasting Sydney-wide at 107.3. And 2SER is in the midst of its annual Radiothon. If you enjoy the work we do here at US of Ed, or indeed across the station, make sure to become a subscriber or give a donation at 2SER.com.